The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O Lord God, we bring before you the cries of a sorrowing world. In your mercy, set us free from the chains that bind us and defend us from everything that is evil. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Cameron, come on up here and sit with me. Why don't you move down, Penny? No, this way. Sit in front of me so I can see your face. I'm going to sit right here. Cameron, turn around this way. All right. So. Oh, my gosh. I have a bite here. I was in Minnesota, so. Mosquitoes. They're this big. And there's a lot of them.
You exercise a lot?
I did get a lot of walking in, and I was wearing long pants, and I was wearing shoes, but I had little socks on instead of tall socks. So that was the only piece of exposed skin. How did they find it? I know they're attracted to me. I'm just so sweet. They love it. So I have a question about the story that we're going to hear today. The story that you're going to talk about. It's not about mosquito bites. But the story that you're going to talk about in Sunday school has to do with our second reading where, and it's pretty much the words of this song that we just sang, that we are all one in Christ. This is what the letter says. There is no longer Jew or Greek or slave or free or male or female. We are all one in Christ. So what makes us all one? What makes us one family of God? Cameron, what do you think?
Because God's the grown-up mostly, and we're all of his children.
God is the grown-up, isn't it? That's true. And we are God's children. How did you get to be God's child?
He made us born.
He made us. Exactly right. That God made us exactly the way God wanted us to be made. That we are made as we are. And then, in baptism, we all become part of God's family. Next Sunday, we're going to have a baptism. We're going to baptize a little baby. The baby's name is Evelyn, and she is really a cute little baby. She's not here today, I don't think. They usually sit back in the cry room. But and so when we baptize that baby, she will become part of our family, and the rest of her family, her mom and dad and her sister, will become part of our family too. They've already got baptized somewhere else, but we're bringing those people. Oh, that's a different Evelyn. That's the right one you're thinking of, though. So God brings us all together to be one in God's family. And there are things that we do that show that we're part of God's family. One thing, Cameron, you have a name tag that says, Cameron, if we were going to write your whole name on there, what else would it say?
Box.
Who else has that name?
Nobody else.
Just you. Who has the box name?
Me.
You and?
My family.
Your family. So when you say your name and your family has the same name, or that's how we identify, that's how we connect with people. So what is your name as God's family? Christian. We have a Christian name, that we are part of God's family. We are Christians. Taking from Jesus Christ, that we belong to Jesus Christ, that we are part. Lutheran is like, that's the first name, and the Christian is the second name. So we are one holy Catholic Apostolic Church. So we can say we are Lutheran Christians in the Apostolic Church of the Universe, the Universal Church.
Apostolic,
yes.
Every time we pray for communion, we always say our Father.
We do. We say our Father because we're all in one family. That's right. We'll say that. So you go to Sunday school now and come back in time to say our Father together, to receive communion together, which shows us that we are part of God's family. Okay, off to Sunday school.
Finally.
First readings from Isaiah. I was ready to be sought out by those who did not ask, to be found by those who did not seek me. I said, here I am, here I am. To a nation that did not call my name. I held out my hands all day long to a rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good, following their own devices. A people who provoke me to my face continually, sacrificing in gardens and offering incense on bricks, who sit inside tombs and spend the night in secret places, who eat swine's flesh with broth of abominable things in their vessels, who say, keep to yourselves, do not come near me, for I am too holy for you. There are a smoke in my nostrils, a fire that burns all day long. See, it is written before me. I will not keep silent, but I will repay. I will indeed repay into their laps their iniquities and their ancestors' iniquities together, says the Lord. Because they offered incense on the mountains and reviled me on the hills, I will measure into their laps full payment for their actions. Thus says the Lord, as the wine is found in the cluster, and they say, do not destroy it, for there is a blessing in it. We'll read Psalm 22 responsively. But you, O Lord, be not far away. O my help, hasten to my aid. Save me from the lion's mouth, for the horns of wild bulls you have rescued me.
I will declare your name to my people. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you.
You who fear the Lord, all give praise. All you of Jacob's line, give glory. Stand in awe of the Lord, all you offspring of Israel.
For the Lord does not despise.
From you comes my praise in the great assembly. I will perform my vows in the sight of those who fear the Lord.
The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Let those who seek the Lord give praise. May your hearts live forever.
All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. All the families of nations shall bow before God.
For dominion belongs to the Lord.
The second reading is from Galatians. Now before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. Therefore, the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to a disciplinarian, for in Christ Jesus you are all children of God through faith. As many of you as are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
think that's my favorite Alleluia. And I don't know about y'all, but I sang it in Spanish. I hope you did too. The Holy Gospel according to Luke. Then Jesus and his disciples arrived at the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. As he stepped out on the land, a man of the city who had demons met him. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he did not live in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many times it had seized him, and he was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles. But he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the wilds. Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. They begged him not to order them to go back into the abyss. Now there on the hillside, a large herd of swine was feeding, and the demons begged Jesus to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When the swineherds saw what had happened, they ran off and told it in the city and in the country. Then people came out to see what had happened. And when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by demons had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Our gospel story today tells a profound story of the power of God and the amazing transformation that can result from an encounter with that power. Over the years, I've heard a number of stories like this one. So many people have struggled with their own personal demons and found freedom in the good news of Jesus Christ. Demons come in many sizes and shapes. I want to tell you two stories of struggle and victory. By the time Sharon was in her early teens, she had found her own demon, or a demon had found her. Maybe it was lack of self-esteem, or maybe it was peer pressure, or the hype of the fashion industry telling young girls that they had to be super thin. However the demon disguised itself, whatever many faces that demon had, it was finally named, diagnosed, anorexia. When I met Sharon, she was just before her senior year in high school. But by that time, she had been spending more time in the hospital than in the classroom, and I'm not sure she would be considered a senior. I always saw her in wearing baggy sweat clothes, and anything else, she said, made her look fat. I don't know how she could be fat. 5'7", less than 80 pounds. no fat, no muscle, just a very sick body. Not enough energy to even walk across a room. The voices of her demon told her not to eat, told her to keep secrets from her family, secrets like laxatives and diet pills and making herself sick after every mouthful of food. Her family started going to counseling, and they started going to church about that same time. But Sharon continued to get sicker and sicker as the counseling and the support and the encouragement of a church community and a support group surrounded the family. But not for Sharon. This story does not have a happy ending that you would hope for. The transformation and the renewal did not happen in Sharon's body. She died on a winter day in the hospital with her parents, her younger sister, and myself standing near her bed, praying for her, holding her hand. The transformation and the renewal in this story is about their family, that they organize support groups for other families affected by eating disorders. Sharon's younger sister spoke out in her junior high, giving an assembly talk about the dangers of this eating disorder. She talked with other girls about how God transformed their family and brought them together. Of course, they wanted Sharon to live, to see her freed from that demon's bond. But God had transformed their grief into a power to help others. Others who were also held in bondage. They told the story of Sharon's demon and the story of how much God had done for them. Like the man in the story from Luke's gospel, Jesus said to him, "Go back to your family and tell the story of how much God has done for you." Sharon's family continues. That was 30 years ago, that story, and still makes me cry. The second story. He started drinking when he was in junior high. No big deal. Everybody was drinking beer in junior high, at least 70 years ago. But for him, it was a big deal. We call it demon rum. Alcohol took control of his spirit and his body, and this addiction was controlling his life by the time he was in his mid-20s. I know this story really well. It's my dad's story. My dad drank his way into and out of a lot of jobs and relationships throughout his adult life. Addiction is a terrible demon. It takes a hold of a person and invites a legion of other demons to come along for the ride. Alcohol isn't the only demon. It often comes with others. Lying, cheating, infidelity, broken promises, and on and on. When I was about 10 years old, my father was working in sales. He sold new car parts to car dealerships. So he had quite a region that he traveled. So he was gone from home almost from Monday through, he usually left on Monday morning and would come back Friday night. Early one morning in September, I remember the day because it was my mother's birthday, the phone rang and my mother was told that my dad had been involved in a very serious car accident. Both my dad and his passenger were in intensive care in a hospital about 400 miles away. We all know that drinking and driving don't mix. And here we had the proof. My dad's personal demons only got worse after that. My parents separated and then were divorced. And by the time my father was 40 years old, he was living in a rented trailer house, working odd jobs just to keep him in beer and cigarettes. My dad married a woman that he had, who had her own personal demons. I think that they met at an AA meeting at one of his sober months. His transformation and renewal began when he was just about 50 years old. He woke up in the hospital one day, and his familiar demons were waging war in his head. Where's that swine of herd, that herd of swine when you need them? In a moment of desperation, he prayed. He realized that he had lost one family, my family, and he was about to lose another, his wife Sheila and her three children. That marriage was going to be destroyed. And he figured that God would probably not give him a chance for a third family. Something had to change. He knew he wouldn't live long enough to have a third family or third chance. He asked God to change his life. He knew he couldn't do it by himself. One of his favorite sayings was, "You can't pickle a brain for 35 years and expect it to work right." He knew he couldn't do this on his own. The good part of this story, my dad had 9 years of sobriety before he died, and he never stopped telling the story of what God had done for him. He started an AA group at the prison where he had worked at one time. He spent several days a week in the county jail talking to people who had come in drunk. He had been on the other side of those bars as well. He went to church, and he and his wife became very active members in the parish. They worked with the bishop to help clergy who were addicted. And his demons left when he finally let go and let God. He tried for 35 years to do it himself. And finally, when he was at the very bottom, he prayed that God would do it. And God did. Last week, I went to a presentation at the Central Library given by Dr. Dean Nelson, who's the chair of the journalism department out at Point Loma Nazarene. He just published his 16th book, and the title of the book is Talk to Me: How to Ask Better Questions, Get Better Answers, and Interview Anyone Like a Pro. I sat in that lecture hall on Wednesday night thinking about interviewing the man from the Gerasenes that we just heard about in Luke's gospel. And following Dr. Nelson's advice, I think I would start with the question, so, tell me about those demons. Or maybe I would say, why Legion? I wanted to give this sermon as an interview with that man from the Gerasenes, but I couldn't figure out how to do both parts, asking the questions and giving the answers. So I'm going to ask you, if you were the one being interviewed, not the man from the Gerasenes, but you, what would you say to that opening question? Tell me about your demons. What stories would you tell today about the demons that hold you bound, that keep you from wholeness and health. I'm sure I'm not the only one in this room who grew up in an alcoholic home or in a dysfunctional family. Maybe I should say it the other way. Is there anyone that grew up in a totally functional family? If those things exist. Maybe you're living in such a situation now. I know that some of my father's demons have twin brothers that live in me. Worries, fears, self-doubts. We all have demons of our own. Maybe a legion of demons. The good news that we hear today is that God wants to free us. God wants to heal us. God wants us to be transformed and renewed. God does not want us to be bound by those demons. God wants to expel the demons that hold us bound. Demons of addiction and mental illness. Demons of fear and physical disease. God wants to heal us of the worst demons of our emotional and physical and spiritual disasters. And God wants to heal us of our simpler demons as well. The good news that we hear today is that God wants our wholeness and our healing. Sometimes, and it's far too often, that there are great demons, great evils that are even beyond human comprehension, threatening cancers, permanent disabilities, hatred and fear of those who are different from us, deep depressions and suicidal thoughts. In those times, when confronted by those demons, we may be tempted to give up. But God does not give up. Into a situation that is overwhelmingly evil, where a person is bound by legions of demons, Jesus goes right there to bring healing and peace. There is no situation so bad that Jesus turns away, that Jesus refuses to bring his healing power. One of my colleagues is preaching on this text today. And she preached for us on Wednesday at our pastor's gathering. And she started her sermon. She picked up her book and turned around and she went, "Ew!" as she looked at us. And we were just kind of, "What?" And she said, "Well, haven't you ever had anything that just makes you go, ew?" But not for Jesus. Jesus steps right into those places that would repel us, that would pull us away, that would make us say ew, or make us turn our heads or cover our eyes. Jesus goes right there into any situation that is overwhelmingly evil. Where a person is bound by legions of demons, that's where Jesus goes to bring his healing and peace. No place is so bad that Jesus turns away. That's what this gospel in Luke writes is all about. Jesus went into the worst possible situation and brought healing and wholeness. Jesus did not give up on that wild man of the Gerasenes, and Jesus does not give up on us either. Healing begins in our hearts and happens in so many ways. It may not be the kind of healing that you are expecting, but open your eyes, open your hearts to see the healing that is already happening in your life. Ask God to open your eyes, to open your heart, and let you see that healing and health that God so wants for you. And then tell the story. Don't keep this great miracle of God's healing a secret. I like the way this gospel ends. Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. There is power and healing in telling the story. Spread the good news that God desires our health and our wholeness. God wants us to be freed from the bondage of the demons that plague us physically, spiritually, and emotionally. If you've ever sat in an AA meeting, or maybe in Al-Anon, or adult children of alcoholics, any of those kinds of meetings, you will know the truth of this, that telling the story brings the healing. Telling the story can bring healing, not only for the one who is the storyteller, but for the one who listens and says, "Ah, I'm not alone." Come, Lord Jesus, we pray, and free us from our demons. Amen.